turn to Deuteronomy chapter 14, if you're not already there, knowing that we've been going through Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 14. All right. You know, we're committed to here at Calvary Chapel in the main services to teach right through the Scriptures. You know, the Scriptures, all of it are the Word of God. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. We try to teach all of the counsel of God. And I freely admit to you, there are some things that are difficult to teach you, like reading them. Like, Lord, how is this going to feed your people? I mean, I want to teach something on the second coming or something else or this and that. But this is God's word, and it edifies no matter what. And these are one of those chapters when it comes to the dietary laws for the children of Israel. You know, you say, what does that have to do with me today? What are all these things that we're going to read about? Let me move this down. I think it's my big mouth and big lips. All right. You can cut that off the tape. What do all these things have to do with me? You know, what are all these diets and shadows and all this stuff and types and with these animals? And what does it all have to do with me? Well, let me just say this first of all. Remember Jesus said in the New Testament to his people, to his followers, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, every hair of your head is numbered, right? God cares about every part of you, everything about you. He cares about what you eat. Now listen, I know we live in a day and age, I'll get into this a little bit, that people, they go overboard with this stuff, believe me, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But God cares about everything about you. Jesus died for you, he redeemed you, he's taking you to heaven one day, he's going to give you a resurrected body, that's what the sermon will be about on Sunday, so on and so forth. But every hair of your head is numbered. David said in Psalm 139 that God does what? He said, where can I go from your presence, God? Where can I flee? If I try to run from you, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my abode in Hades, you're there. If I try to run from you and I go to the deepest part of the sea, God, even there you'll lead me. You go before me. That's what God does for all of us. That's how much he cares for all of us. David said also in that psalm that what? Lord, if I could count the sea that is on the seashores, that's how much you think of me. More than all of the, if you could number every piece of sand, which is impossible, right? That's how much you think of me, even more than that. That's how much God thinks of every one of us. So obviously, as God's calling out his people here, he wants them to prosper. He wants them to be healthy, right? Before they go in to take the promised land again, this is part of Moses' farewell address. And Moses is going to remind them of things that are good to eat, things that are not good to eat when they go in to this promised land. Things that are going to bless them. And listen, if you look through the history of the Jewish people, you know, when some of the plagues came upon Europe in the, you know, 14th, 15th, 16th century, all along those lines, do you know who the healthiest people were in the midst of all of that? The Jewish people. Because they ate what God told them to eat. You know, we live in a day, in this day and age, that tells us, you know, we've figured out the way bacteria are carried and all this stuff and so on and so forth. And it's a lot of it's through swine and seagulls and things with blood and all of that. All the stuff that God already said to his people to stay away from. Now listen, I am a New Testament Christian. I had bacon this morning, all right? Too much bacon. Matt comes up to me yesterday, you know, I don't want to be gross anybody out here, but I'm brushing my teeth and the thing, and I don't have a shirt on, and he goes, Dad, what's this on your side here? He goes, what is that? I'm like, Jeff, you shouldn't be laughing at me, brother. I'm telling you right now. I go, Matt, that's fat, all right? I said, but don't get puffed up, because I was skinny for a long time, just like you are. But I believe if you implement some of this stuff, you'll be a healthier person. You know, it says in 3 John 2 that John writes to that church, that he goes, I would that in all things that you would prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. So your soul is what matters first, okay? Now, God cares about all of these things. And we'll dig into this in a minute. God cares about our health, so on and so forth. Now, I know we get out of balance with this stuff sometimes, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So, chapter 14, we go through verses 1 and 2, but we'll read them again. You are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. This has to do with mourning for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. That's what we left off last week. This has to do with mourning for the dead. What some of the pagan nations would do is to mourn the dead. They would literally cut themselves and be bleeding all over the dead bodies and so on and so forth. And if you stayed with us through any length of time as we went through Leviticus, Numbers, so on and so forth, God talks about the dead and how they were to mourn the dead and the things they were to do and the way they were to care for the body and be ceremonially clean and all that stuff. It's a good practice, okay? We don't have time to get into it, but that's where we left off last week. Now watch, verse 3. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. These are the beasts which you shall eat. The ox, the sheep, the goat, the hart and the roebuck, and the fallow deer. The wild goat, the pygarg. I don't know what a pygarg is. I should have studied a little bit more on that. Anybody know what a pygarg is? Anybody have a different translation? What is it? Mountain goat? Okay. The wild ox and the chamois. And every beast that parts the hoof and cleaveth the cleft into two claws. And cheweth the cud among the beasts. The beasts that chew the grass, the cud. That you can eat. Nevertheless, you shall not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the cloven hoof, as the camel, the hare, the coney. For they chew the cud, but divide not the hoof. Therefore, they are unclean unto you. And the swine, because it divides the hoof, yet chews not the cud, it is unclean unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. Now, God warning them before they go into the promised land. All these types of animals will be among you. Again, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, a blessed land. So obviously there's going to be wildlife there. God says you can eat these beasts, but you can't eat these beasts. They're unclean. Now, Jesus talked about this in the New Testament. Not in particular in when it had to do with the animals, but he talked about things that we consume, things that go into the belly, right? And what did he say? He said it's not the things that go into the belly that defile the man, right? Those are not the things that defile us. But it's what comes out of the heart that already is defiled, and those things defile us, right? Now listen, if you want to practice some of these things personally, the New Testament, Paul tells us you can do that. You can eat whatever you want. Studies have shown, obviously, in today's day and age, we realize that you eat too much pig, it's probably not good for you. Again, I eat it. But again, you know, Christians go crazy with this stuff, you know. And I watch it, pastor in the church, I watch it. You got people coming in the church telling people, you know what, if you want to be godly, these are the type of food you have to eat. And if you watch their whole lives are wrapped up on the outer man. Their bodies, their what they eat, the things they do, their diets. If we were half as much as diligent with some of those things, with spiritual things as we are with those things, how much more better off would we be? Now, I'm not saying if you can practice those things and you can do those things and you feel healthy, you go ahead and do those things. But sometimes we raise that stuff to the level of godliness. That's not godliness, okay? You can do that. You're free to do that. But Christians, sometimes we get out of balance with this stuff, really. And our whole life is focused on the outer man, the outer person, right? You know, I went to a conference one time, and the gentleman up the front was answering questions. And there was this guy. He had to be about in his 80s. He was an older gentleman, older saint. And he got up, and he had a question. Every time you asked a question, you could ask another one, but you had to get to the back of the line to give some other people a chance to ask questions. Every question that he got up there and he asked, it had to do with health, his body, all this stuff. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, like, dude, you're 80-something years old. You know what I mean? Think about eternity, okay? Think about sharing as much of your life as you can with others, pouring Christ into them. Don't worry about the 2, 3, maybe 5 more years that, you know, taking care of your body. Again, it's okay to do that. But our focus needs to be on what? Set our sights on things above, right? Those are the things we're supposed to care about. You know, we're going to have a heavenly body that we're going to put on, right? That's going to be incorruptible. this mortal must put on immortality. That's what the resurrection is all about, right? That's what eternity is all about. I believe in a literal resurrection of the body. The same body that goes in the grave is the same body that comes out. This body holds the blueprint for your resurrected body one day. Amazing, right? Now, God warns them and he tells them, it's, you know, because he cares about his people. He's watching out for his people. He doesn't want diseases, and it's proven that some of these certain kinds of birds, and swine especially, they're disease carriers. And they can wipe out multitudes at one time, right? And God tells them to be concerned about the things that you eat, the things that you consume. Now, for us, the inner man we need to think about more, right? We need to care about feeding the inner man. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. In your New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians. Just want you to see Paul's prayer for this church. Watch how Paul prays for them. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 16. He actually starts in verse 1, his prayer, and then he goes off on this whole diatribe about the amazing grace of God and how he brings Jew and Gentile together as one in Christ, so on and so forth. And then he finishes off this prayer for the church here. Look in verse 16. He says, God, that God might what? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, if you read through his prayer for them, that all has to do with the spiritual. Strengthened in the inner man with might. Now, let's be honest. How much time do we focus on the outer, right? How much time? When you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, comb your hair if you have any, right? So on and so forth. It's starting to go little by little. I'm starting to get it right here. I don't know. But how much time do we spend on the outer man, right? And if you add up all that time, now I'm being honest with you. Sometimes I'll starve myself in the morning, right? Because I look forward to that lunch, right? And I'm going to eat at this time, and I just can't wait to just pig out and be gluttonous. One of the seven deadly sins, by the way. So, because come about 9:45, I know I'm going to eat around noontime. That's all that's on my mind. Don't talk to me. Don't come near me. This is what I'm thinking about. I'm at work, this and that. It's all I'm focusing on is that, whatever it is, that meatball sub with American cheese, right? I get those a lot. Double quarter pounder times two from McDonald's, all right? But I'm so, my thoughts are so fixed on the outer man. My thoughts are so fixed on food. And our thoughts sometimes are so fixed on the outer man, we forget what's more important is the inner man. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right? Life isn't just about those things. Jesus told them on the Sermon on the Mount, did he not? He told them, primarily a Jewish audience there. God's chosen. As he's looking out, he's preaching to them. He goes, don't take any thought for tomorrow. Don't take any thought for what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. For all those things, that's what the unbelievers are seeking after. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have needed these things before you even ask him. Right? So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else is going to be added unto you. Now listen. If you read through the Old Testament and some of the fasts in the Old Testament, that's another thing I'm not good at. I freely admit. Jesus did say, thank God he said, when you fast. You know, he tells the New Testament church to, you know, as you gather on the first day of the week, Paul says so on and so forth, so we have a tradition of gathering at least once a week. Thank God Paul doesn't say that about fasting, or I'd be in big trouble, right? When you fast, though, if you read through some of the fasts in the Old Testament, it seemed like some of the fasts were there not so much to just get God's attention. Lord, I got to get something from you, so I'm fasting. Though if you do that, that's okay. If you have a need, you want to pray and fast. But it seems like they were so fixed on repentance and on seeking God's face that there was no time to eat. They weren't even thinking about it. They were so fixed on, you know, cleansing Israel and bringing themselves back to God and repentance and seeking God and loving the Lord first. All that stuff. They didn't even think about eating. It was pushed to the back burner. Right? The inner man, the inner person. That's what we should be thinking about first. But again, if we take our 24-hour day and we divide it up, right? A lot of it's fixed on, all right, am I going to have swine today or am I going to have cow? Right? Am I going to have this? Am I going to have that? At work, it's a big thing. I go to work, you know what? Everybody at certain times of the day, what are you getting for lunch today? What are you getting? I don't know, what are you getting? What are you getting? Oh, I didn't have that. Well, let's get that. Right? But that's, those of you who work in some kind of a corporate environment, you know that's what goes on. It's like the big to-do of the day, what everyone's going to get for lunch. Really. We should be focused on the inner man more, right? Let's add up that time in the day, how much time we think about the outer man, and then put it toward the time we spend on the inner man. And if we could actually reverse those two things, how much more would the Lord fill our lives with His Holy Spirit, really? How much more? Now, go back to Deuteronomy. Look in verse 12. Talks about the birds. But these are they of which you shall not eat: the eagle, the ossifrage, the osprey, which is a seahawk, and the gleed, the kite, the vulture after his kind, and every raven after his kind, and the owl, and the nighthawk, and the cuckoo, I don't know if I'm pronouncing these right, and the hawk after his kind, the little owl, and the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the gear eagle, and the cormorant, and the stork. I'm going to have a baby soon. I still tell my kids, how did the baby get in there? I said, the stork just comes and puts them in there. I think that was on an old Bugs Bunny cartoon, by the way. Thou shalt give it. I'm not having the baby, by the way. My wife is. Thou shalt give it unto the stranger that is in the gates, that he may eat it, or thou mayest sell it unto the alien. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord your God. Shall not see the kid in his mother's milk. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of your seed that the field brings forth by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. Now remember, we talked about this last week. Remember, when they were waiting to go over into the promised land, people just started doing their own sacrifices. God said, listen, through Moses, when you go over, I'm going to put my name in a place, and all the rituals for the priests, so on and so forth, it's going to go on there. That's where you're to bring your offerings, your tithe, your sacrifices, and all that stuff. Again, ultimately, it's Jerusalem, right? Verse 23 again. You shall eat before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of your corn, your wine, your oil, the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord your God always. All right. So he gets into the tithe again here. Now, we only teach on giving as when we go through it. We don't look at the numbers around here and say, oh, man, the tithes are going down. What are we going to do? Man, let's get people motivated to give money. Well, anytime you read about the children of Israel giving, God talks about the firstlings, the best, right? I'm trying to teach my boys to, you know, start giving and tithing. We give them some couple dollars here and some change there and so on and so forth. And I guess right before we come to church, right, they're running around the house with their change. Oh, I want to get my money to give to God. I want to get my money. So they're fighting with one another, right? No, that was my 50 cents. That was my this. That's that. That's this. And I'm like, guys, you're giving money to God here and you guys are fighting over it? And then and then my son Sam's like, well, Dad, I got $7. Mom told me I should give 70 cents. But he must have had just quarters, and it didn't add up to 70 cents, right? And I said, Joe, just give him a dollar. He goes, what? Seriously, it's just innate in us. I'm really. Verse 22 says, you shall truly tithe. Because you can't fake God, all right? You can't get around it. And I'm like, Sam, just give him a dollar. He goes, well, why? He's just, I said, it's okay to give more. Give God your best, right? Don't try to hold out on the Lord. He knows all that stuff. Give God your best. The firstlings, your best wine, your best oil. How much does God mean to you that you might learn to fear the Lord your God? Respect the Lord. Put him first. Care about him first. Now listen, our money, right? It's a way. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is. Now listen, when we go through these things as we're going through the scriptures, the ones that get convicted are the ones who are already like sacrificially giving and this and that. And that just happens. It's just the way it is. And then everybody else, it just goes, well, I'm not ready to do that yet. I can't do those things. I'm not doing that. Listen. You believe God can save your soul when you die one day, right? When you're going to heaven. Can he not take care of you on this earth, or you of little faith, right? Of course he can. Now listen, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise hands here. And by the way, I don't know who gives what. The only people we check that give here are those who want to be pastors, leaders, and you know, deacons, so on and so forth. Because you can't teach other people to trust God if you're not. I don't know what anybody else gives here. But if you ask anybody who has trusted the Lord by way of the tithe, so on and so forth, ask them, has God always come through? Yes, he has. Ask him. God says that he's already provided for us if we just have clothing and food, okay? Ask anybody here, right, if you know personally and privately, who actually practice this from the scriptures, if they're lacking, ask them. God has always come through. Malachi talks about this. Test me. Try me. Prove me. The only place in the scriptures where God says you're allowed to test him and to prove him. You can't tempt the Lord your God. The only place you can test him, right, is this area. Try me. He goes, see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you so much that you won't be able to even contain it. Now listen to me. Hear me. See this through spiritual eyes, okay? Don't see this through carnal eyes. I've always tithed. That's what that got hammered in the church I was at. Once every sermon, something came out about the tithe, all right? And I just started doing it. I was taught it, so I did it, okay? Started doing it. And I'm like, God, when are you going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon me? All right? You know what God did, though? You know, the Bible says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly place. You know what God made me realize? That I don't have to keep living for the big house and the career and all this stuff. He showed me through divine eyes to live simply. Just like, remember the missionary was here on Sunday, those of you who were here? Powerful message, by the way. I didn't even know that was K.P. Yohannan's son. He said his name was Daniel Panos. Okay, but I'm like, well, who's Yohannan? I guess Yohannan's his first name. I didn't know that till afterwards. A little embarrassing. But he talked about in the message, he talked about just simplifying our lives, right? He talked about sometimes us in America, instead of getting the giant coffee, just get a small one. Instead of buying the best steaks, just buy some hamburger sometimes. And just simplify our lives. Because God comes through. Now listen, we're not legalistic about the tithe around here. We don't teach people, oh, well, if you don't tithe, you're ungodly. We don't do that. Because the Pharisees tithed, by the way. Just want to let you know that. They did. They were scrupulous about it. But they forgot about mercy and justice, faith. They forgot about those other things. You know what godliness is? Godliness is doing both. The inner first, right? See if the Lord will come through for you. See if the Lord is the God of his book. And so often the way he does it, listen. So often the way he'll show himself strong on your behalf is by coming through for you and on some financial thing. Let's admit it. Those of us in our faith walks in America, it has to do with all the time. Oh, man, I just lost my job. I got laid off. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What's going on? We all have those kind of stories here. Venture to say if you go to another country, you'll hear something. It might be different. A third world country, the people that the missionary talked about Sunday, it'll be, you know what? We didn't know how we were going to eat. We had no clue. There was no food for days, and we were starving. But we prayed, and Jesus came through. The Psalms talk about this. I'm young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread, ever. God will bless us. He'll come through for you. He will. God says, give of your firstlings. Give your best. Verse 24. And if the way be too long for you, listen, verse 24, so that you are not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from you to get to this place of worship, again, ultimately it's Jerusalem, if the place be too far from you, which the Lord your God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand and shall go unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever your soul lusts after, for the oxen, for your sheep, for your wine, or for strong drink, and for whatsoever your soul desires. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord your God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and your household. So God says here, if you live too far away from this place that I'm going to set up, this place of worship, okay? And it's difficult for you to bring the firstlings of your flocks, of your corn, of your oil. If it's hard for you to get it there, if it turns bad by the time you get it there, if you can't make it, God said, it's okay to sell your stuff and turn it into an offering, turn it into money, and bring that to the temple. Bring that to the tabernacle. God says, it's okay to do that. Now listen, if you're any kind of a pastor, right, you hate teaching on giving, you really do. Because you never want people to get the wrong idea that, oh man, what's the knock on the Christian church? Oh, those people are all about money. That's all they care about is money. That's, you hear it. I've heard it 1,000 times. You go on TV, you got them on there. Send in your seed offering. Send in your seed offering. But a lot of those guys ain't seeing what's spiritualized. They're seeing, you know what? And people are like, man, if I give them my 10 bucks, I'm going to get 10,000. 1,000. That's not spiritualized. Not seeing it the right way. But that's the knock on the Christian church. You guys only care about money. That's all you care about. Listen, we don't care about it here. Just going to let you know. Not that we're not scrupulous and diligent when the offerings to come in to make sure they're being used for God's glory. Because we are. The scriptures say, be diligent to know the states of your flocks, your herds, everything that God gives you. And that's why we don't pass an offering plate. All right? Because we just want people to know that this is about falling in love with Jesus Christ. That's what we want. And if you fall in love with Jesus Christ, you know what? God will get you to that point. Well, you know what, Lord? I've been walking with you for some time, and you know, this whole giving thing, I haven't really been faithful in that. I've been here, I've been praying about it, but God, you know what? You love me, I say I love you, so I'm going to try this thing out. I'm going to see if you're going to come through for me. God will do that. And if you're sitting here and you're saying, you know what? Well, I don't have anything. I don't have this. I don't have that. Start with something. Start with a buck. Start with the 70 cents that my son Sam didn't want to give. Start with something. And just make sure it's sacrificial, all right? Because you can't offer to the Lord that which costs you nothing, all right? Meaning that a lot of us, our offerings are, yeah, we got some abundance. I can throw 20. I can throw 50. I can throw... And it means nothing to you. If that's the case, then, what, you know, Jesus talked about the widow with the two mites, right? Everybody came in. They were given much more money. As Jesus was standing somewhere off on the sidelines, watching the offerings come into God's temple. Much people that had a lot, they gave a lot of money. The widow comes and she gives two mites. Jesus said, who do you think gave the most out of all these people? She did. It's all she had. She walked by faith, right? Turn me to 2 Corinthians 9 really quick. Some of you are sitting there saying, oh, I love this church. He never talks about money. I don't love it anymore. When we get to it in the scriptures, I'm doing you a disservice if we don't teach what the Bible says here. Paul, in the midst of bringing his offering to one of the churches, says to the Corinthian church, look in verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Listen, if you go to a church and they're sitting there and they start telling you, man, we can't pay the pastor's salary this month. Oh, we can't afford the air conditioner, the heat. What are we going to do? Man, as if God, if anybody presents God to you as poor, that's a problem. Okay, I just want to let you know that. God's not poor. He owns everything. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Everything he owns. But if you go and you're walking in, you're constantly like, oh, we're trying to get this done for the Lord, but, there's not enough to pay this one and give for that one and all this stuff. God's not poor. But I do believe if you have covenanted with the body of Christ, you know, we don't have formal membership here. We don't make people come and sign their name and all that stuff and promise to give so much and so on and so on. We don't do that. We want the Lord to add people as he sees fit. Now, churches that do that, that's okay. It's just my conviction, okay? We just want people to give by faith. But if it's grudgingly or of necessity, that's necessity. We can't pay our bills. We can't pay them. We need this money. You have to do this. Well, listen, this is what my pastor told me. If you ever can't pay your bills, God's trying to downsize you. So just close the doors and go somewhere else. Or he's just going to do something else somewhere else. That's what he told me. As simple as that. God can take care of his people. Every man is according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Listen, that grudgingly thing, that's a problem. All right? That's a problem. Like my boys before we came to church. What? How much? Why not? If we have a grudge, God, you're taking this away from me. God didn't take anything away from you. You need to give it to the Lord joyfully. Put him first in your life. Listen, so often a way that you can show him that he's first is with your offerings. Again, I don't know what they are. For you, sacrifice might be $5. That might be a sacrifice. For you, it might be $500. I don't know. It might be something like that. It's grudgingly. And then in the church I used to go to, we had the tithing envelopes on in the chairs and all that stuff, and that's okay. But you'd get the people who would walk around with it in their pocket right here, and you'd see the number there. Jesus says to them, "Verily I say unto you, you already have your reward." All right? Really? Keep that stuff private. Keep it between you and the Lord. And then, then you got the hyper-spiritual ones, okay? That say, I don't want to write my name on the offering envelope. I don't want to write my name. Because, I don't want anybody to know anything, just me and the Lord. Now, listen, if that's really your conviction, do that. But I'd say do a little study about being a good steward, because now you're just giving the government more money, okay? Because you could write that off at the end of the year, all right? Again, that's a personal conviction. If that's what you do, then you do that. But just... you don't want to give them more money, okay? You definitely don't want to do that. All right. Go back to Deuteronomy 14. We'll finish up. Look in verse 27. And the Levite that is within your gates, you shall not forsake him, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. Obviously, remember, we talked about this. The Levites, they were the ones who worked in God's service of the tabernacle. They raised their kids to do that, so on and so forth. They didn't get any land. They didn't get any inheritance. God was their inheritance, but each tribe was supposed to take care of them, supposed to provide a place for them, and was supposed to bless them. God says, make sure you don't forsake the Levite, that you take care of them. Verse 28, at the end of 3 years, you shall bring forth all your tithe of your increase the same year, and shall lay it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no part nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow which are within your gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. God wants to bless his people. Listen, what is God telling them? If you have a giving heart, I can trust you to bless you. That's what he's telling them. Now listen, get your eyes and your ears off the... You want to be blessed right now with things, okay? Don't think that way. God wants to bless you so you can bless people, other people, your family, lost people in the church, so on and so forth. God says, don't forsake the Levite. They took a special tithe for the Levites, okay? Because God wanted to make sure that they were being taken care of. If you do some studying in the Old Testament, they took a special festival tithes, all right? Every third year, this one was for the Levites. Some scholars have done some study. There's some debate on this. But if you do a little study, they say 23% the children of Israel gave away in offerings. Okay? Now listen. That was some of it. It was their welfare system and their social security system. All right? Was the offerings. I know we live in a country where the government just takes that from us already. The welfare system, so on and so forth. And that's okay. But it always makes me wonder when people come up to me in private and they say, hey, Pastor Matt, you know that verse you just read in 2 Corinthians? Paul says everybody has these purpose in his heart. I don't hear anything about tithing there. Wouldn't Paul, if people wanted people to tithe, wouldn't he write about the tithe in the New Testament? And you go, even Jesus, when he talked to the Pharisees, so on and so forth, he talked about, you know, that they tithe, so on and so forth. But he hadn't died on the cross yet, and it wasn't in the New Testament times yet. Listen, throw all that stuff out the window. The bottom line is, where is your heart? That's what matters. That's what matters to God. Just like that widow with the two mites. Look where her heart was. That's what matters to the Lord. God said, make sure you take care of these people. And the way they took care of them was by giving a little extra, giving more. Paul just said in 2 Corinthians, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Now listen to me. By me giving and tithing and all that stuff, and I try to use the 10th principle myself and a little bit more sometimes during the year. I try to do that. I think it's a good principle. You don't have to use that principle. But again, I know I could have had way more monetarily if I wasn't doing this Jesus thing. Way more. Some of you are sitting out there, the same thing. God's called you to be business people or this or that, and because you do this, you could have had so much more, so on and so on. I could have way more materially. I definitely could. I have the drive in me to just make money. I'm going to tell you that right now. But I'm going to tell you this, where I've reaped spiritually is seeing God do a work in my life. Where I've reaped, bountifully for the Lord is I've seen God do a work in my life. Where I've reaped bountifully is God actually used me to pray with someone to receive Christ more than once. God actually used me to take the scriptures and, you know, fill people with the word of God so they can grow for the Lord, so on and so forth. That's reaping bountifully. So much more than any of that other stuff that you see that, you flip your TV on and God's going to make you rich. Please. That stuff is crazy. It's not biblical. Do you want to reap bountifully? And listen, I want to tell you this. One of the keys to me being able to start to reap spiritually, bountifully, was money. I needed to learn to trust God. I needed to learn to say, God, you know what? Because this is what I used to believe. I used to believe, okay, Lord, I can do this tithing thing because I just make enough money that's just gravy. I can do this. No problem. But where was my heart? Because all I really cared about was, you know what? God, here's your tenth. Now I'm godly. All the rest is mine. Nothing is yours. The scriptures say you're just a steward over what God has given to you. You're to be faithful in it. But I want to reap bountifully more. And when I learned in my life that the scriptures already say that you cannot serve God in money, you cannot, I've learned that. You can't. Jesus knows what he's talking about. Now listen, hear me on this one. I know it's close to 8 o'clock and we'll close in a second here. But it is so true that where your treasure is, there is your heart also. The things you care about is the thing you're going to spend your money on. Hopefully it's on God's work and your family, right, you know, close to each other. That's where it should be, right? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now think about this. Sometimes I got to go home. I got to take a spiritual inventory with the Lord. Because I can get off on some of these things. I can go home. I can make my budgets, do my things, and say, all right, I got this much. I got that much. I got this. Now I'm good here, Lord. I've been doing this over there. And God so often wants to stretch me. Well, now it's time for you to do a little bit more for somebody else. I'm like, what are you talking about, Lord? I'm already doing this over here. God knows our hearts, right? Jesus said all those other things the Gentiles seek after. Put the Lord first. Put the Lord first. Love the Lord your God. Listen, with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. One of the ways you love him with your mind is the way you balance your checkbook. That's one of the ways you love him with your strength also.